Blog Talk Radio. Good day across America and around the world. You are listening to the Vision Voice Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, where your vision can become a reality. You will get only bona fide health and nutrition tips and information, also with special surprise guests. So listen in every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That's New York time. And now, your very own radio host, speaker, author, voiceover artist, and certified holistic health and lifestyle coach, Jessie Blair Myrie.
Hello and happy Wednesday to you all. This weekly radio broadcast is designed with your health and well-being in mind. I will share my nutritional knowledge with you. To learn a little bit more about me, simply visit my website and you will find a link on this broadcast page. And just to remind everyone, what I've learned and have come to fully understand is that no one diet is perfect for everyone. And I love the words of Hippocrates, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. Today's topic, dairy or dairy-free? Which is best, dairy or dairy-free? And we encounter this very often in this society. And I'm sure that I'm sure that we kind of debate on whether one is better than the other. There are issues with lactose intolerance, and so we're going to just talk about all of that today. You know, there are quite a few options that are available to everyone as far as dairy-free is concerned. Dairy, too, although you're limited when it comes to drinks, that is, milk. So what does one purchase? What does one decide on, consuming? Which is best? So let's find out. There are, first of all, the organic, okay? Like many foods, dairy can be very nourishing for certain people, like womb babies, people with type B blood, according to the blood type diet, and not so healthy for others. You know, what's good for me may be poison to you. For example, those who have lactose intolerance. And so organic, at the very least, any dairy or dairy alternative should be organic. Conventional milk can contain antibiotics, growth hormones, pesticides, and herbicides. You're saying like, yeah, really? And all of that in milk? Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed they do. The amount of things that they do to the animals, and not only that, you are what they ate. So if they ate it, and you're consuming what they produce, then what do you think you're putting into your system? So what they feed, the conventionally raised cows, what they eat, and it's often from genetically modified organisms, okay, GMO grains. And if you want to learn a little bit more about GMO, I'm just going to delve right into it. I decide not to put it off, because it's so important. So GMOs are genetically modified organisms. They're organisms whose genetic material has been artificially manipulated in a lab, yes, a laboratory, through genetic engineering, or GE. No, not General Electric, but genetic engineering. This relatively new science creates unstable combinations of plant, animal, bacteria, and viral genes that do not occur in nature, or through traditional cross-breeding methods. So, consumers, it can be very difficult to stay up to date on food ingredients that are at risk of being genetically modified, as the list of at-risk agricultural ingredients is frequently changing. That becomes a problem. Well, as part of the non-GMO project, and that's what you need to look for, that label on the products that you purchase, they are definitely committed to informing us consumers. So, let me just mention really briefly and quickly what the high-risk crops are. And in commercial production, that is, ingredients derived from these certain foods that I'm about to read off to you must be tested every time prior to use in non-GMO project verified products. They've been doing this, over 3 years now. Almost 4 years they've been doing this. So here's one, high-risk crops. Just keep this in mind, and if you can't remember, you know, write it down and or listen to the playback of this archived broadcasting. Alfalfa, that's a very high-risk crop. Canola, is about 90% of U.S. crop. Unbelievable. Corn, you think it's more than canola, but it's not. It's 88% of U.S. crop. Cotton, approximately 90%. Papaya, most of Hawaiian crop, approximately 988 acres. You're probably saying, yeah, that fruit is wonderful for you, but high in GMOs. Soy, definitely high in GMOs, 94% of U.S. crop since 2011. Sugar beets, this is really high, really shocking. I love beets. My kids hate it. I love it. Well, two out of the three anyway. Approximately 95% of U.S. crop sugar beets are at high risk. So, and here's another one that it's just a wonderful food all around, and you can do so many things with it, but zucchini and yellow summer squash, approximately 25,000 acres. So you've got to watch out for these certain crops. You've got to stay away from GMOs, and you've got to look for the label that says non-GMO project. Then you know they're certified, it's gone through the testing, and it's safe to consume. So now organic, going back to organic, it is better when you're talking about soy, because of the GMOs, of course, almonds, hemp, or other types of milk substitutes, also because of the GMO issue, and we already went over that, obviously. So you want to stay away from genetically modified organisms as much as possible. Listen, folks, you've got to consume food as close as to the creator made it. You've got to. Grass-fed is another one. This type of milk is ideal because the cows get to eat what they were meant to eat. Cows were not meant to be locked up in some barn or some non-grass land where they just eat corn all day. But they're meant to forage. This keeps the animal healthier, and it creates a dairy product that has the right balance of nutrients in it. Unpasteurized. According to the Weston A. Price Foundation, the pasteurization process denatures the protein and enzymes in raw milk, making them difficult to break down in digestion. And they can also trigger an immune response. Chronic inflammation and immune response can develop into autoimmune disorders. So unpasteurized is best. Of course, it's what you want to look at for, not pasteurized. And, of course, unsweetened. Dairy already has milk sugar in it. It's called lactose. And it's healthier to sweeten something sour, like yogurt, with a healthy sugar alternative than to eat something that's been pre-sweetened. So we're going to go into the dairy and some non-dairies. And, well, you know what? I just want to share with you, first of all, milk is the best thing that God could have created. But, you know, raw milk, definitely from goats or from cows, are the best that you can consume, specifically from animals that have been grass feeding and also comes from organic milk. You've got to look for organic, grass-fed, things of that nature, sheep's milk as well. Well, dairy comes from mammals. We all know that, most frequently from cows, but it can also come from camels and donkeys and goats and horses and reindeer and sheep, water buffaloes, and yes, yaks. Known for being rich in protein and calcium, that's why you take your child to a regular pediatrician, they'll ask, do you drink milk? They don't ask, how much calcium are you getting? They ask, do you drink milk? You know, there are other forms of obtaining calcium and getting calcium in your diet, but that's a whole other show. But milk is known for being rich in protein and calcium and also fortified with vitamin D. Milk is best for young children, of course, when they're rapidly growing, and milk may not be appropriate for adults who are already fully grown and people who have lactose intolerance. So you won't find many adults drinking as much milk as they did when they were a child. It's just that simple. And you can ask many Americans who are adults in general anywhere all over the world, and most likely they will tell you, yeah, when I was a child, I drank it all the time, but I don't drink it as much now. So we can go into yogurt and, let me just say this about goat's milk and other ruminant milk. Goat, sheep, and other ruminant milks contain similar proteins to cow's milk, and they're considered to have a high degree of cross-reactivity. That means that people with an allergy to cow's milk are likely to react to other ruminant milks too. And we kind of know that. But one of the reasons is because they're drinking the wrong milk. And so your body builds up resistance and says, you know what, this seems foreign to me. It's pasteurized, it's homogenized, it's, you know, there are things in there that shouldn't be. And your body is saying, you know what, this doesn't belong here. I don't like you. Let's kind of get rid of you. Tells you that you can no longer have it. Hence the quote-unquote allergy, okay? The allergy reaction. So let's just know that the best way, once again, I'll reiterate, is to drink it organic and raw. Soy now, it's most widely available dairy-free milk, that is, it's soy milk. It can be found both in cartons on supermarket shelves as well as alongside milk in dairy cases. But now, soy milk is high in protein, making it very attractive as an alternative to milk for cooking and baking. And soy itself has a strong, distinctive taste. So you've got to make sure you like it before adding it to a sauce or to your favorite cereal. However, here's the kicker. You've got to remember that when it comes to soy milk, look for the non-GMO project label on it, organic or non-GMO. That is the best form of soy milk if you consume soy milk. You've got to look for that non-GMO. It's so important. And nut milks are wonderful as well. You can make your own nut milk. Almonds is among one of the most common nut milks. Like soy, nut milks are high in protein and are useful for baking. And I drink nut milk all the time. Almonds and cashew milk. But they have good fats. They have vitamin C. But one drawback to both soy and nut milk is both of them are common allergens in and of themselves. So you've got to be careful. Once again, if you might be allergic to one nut, the chances are you may be allergic to others as well. So you've got to look out for that. There are other milks that we can look for as far as dairy-free is concerned, such as rice milk, hemp milk, and once again, get it from a trusted source and make sure that non-GMO label is on it. So that is the best I can tell you, the most information that I can say. When it comes to dairy versus non-dairy, it's basically what your body can handle. And if you are lactose intolerant, most likely you're going to say, Coach Jesse, I've got to do the dairy-free. But if you're going to do the dairy-free, and ladies, listen to this one, don't just drink soy milk all the time or eat so much soy. It messes with your estrogen levels, and it kind of flips everything upside down. You have to be careful of that, ladies. So when it comes to soy, drink it in moderation. Also, if you're going to drink it, make sure that it's from non-GMO soybeans and no added sugars, and it has that label on it, which is a trusted source, which you know that they did their homework. So that is the story with soy milk. You haven't heard of hemp? You know, hemps are very nutritional as well. Hemp milk is a newer milk alternative. It can be difficult to find in some places. But its protein level and texture fall between that of rice and soy. As far as oat milk is concerned, it's kind of like hemp, but oat milk has a moderate amount of protein, and it makes it more useful than rice milk for cooking. However, it's still not a true drop-in replacement for cow's milk in baking. So oat milk may not be suitable for those with celiac disease and those who may have some type of sensitivity to a venin protein found in oats. Once again, organic and non-genetically modified are best. So I hope this helps you. Whether you're going to say, well, gee, what do I do? Dairy? Well, if you're going to do dairy, you know what to do. Dairy-free, once again, non-GMO dairy. You've got to drink it organic. And hopefully, you're getting it raw. Well, moving on to Wednesday's word. It comes to us from Billy Graham's Daily Devotion, being rich. Being rich. Real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. Luke 12, verse 15. There are two ways of being rich. Have a lot or want very little. The latter way is the easier for most of us. Many people make themselves miserable by wanting more than they can ever have. They suffer from thing-itis, the insatiable desire for more. Better and newer things. Jesus was the most satisfied man that ever lived, and he had less than most of us. The foxes had their holes and the birds their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He had learned the secret of adjusting his wants to his needs. E. Stanley Jones tells about a poor man who had an overnight guest, and as he showed him to his humble bedroom in the hayloft, he said, "If there is anything you want, let us know, and we'll come and show you how to get along without it." We don't need to learn how to get more, but how to get along with what we've got and get on the business of living. Here's a prayer for today that I think will be helpful for you. Father, you have given me so much more than I deserve. May I always show a grateful and contented heart. And that's Wednesday's word. God bless all of you on this wonderful Wednesday, the first one in June. And so I'd love to hear from you on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. And on that note, until next time, God bless you and bye-bye.